The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's Matt Slick Live, and it's live today, the last day of March, 3/31. We were off yesterday unexpectedly because there was a tech problem on their end. It just happened. We didn't realize it until the last minute or two before the show. We couldn't get it fixed, so didn't do the show yesterday. And that kind of stuff happens. So there you go. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. If you have questions, all you got to do is give me a call on that number. I believe that Laura is the one who is updating the page on Carm. Someone's been doing it. I'm assuming it's her. Where you go in, if you go to the home page on Carm and go to the Matt Slick Live thing, you can click on the link there and you can find the area where you can watch it. You know, it's not a big deal. It's just me sitting in the chair with the headset on and things like that. So there's that, and I think that's about it. And also, you can watch on Facebook. Look, it's not that exciting, but what really is cool is the people that are in the chat area, and a lot of good, we made some friendships out of them. So praise God for that and the good people that are there. All right, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's just jump on the phones and let's get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was having a very lovely debate.
Could you speak up? It's hard to hear you. It's hard to hear you, Rudolph. Go ahead.
What about now?
There you go. That's much better.
Problem now.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was having a very lively debate with my friend Travis Jackson. We were talking about, we both listened to you, and we want to know, should Christians vote, pray or vote?
Both. Pray and vote. They should be voting. Christians should be voting. All right? They should be doing it. Now, you want to know why? Are you there? Hello?
Yes, Rudolph. Listen, why?
Okay.
Yes,
just,
why?
It just so happens, ladies and gentlemen, I released an article today on CARM called The 45 Goals of Communism. Now, you may be surprised about what that is and why would it belong on the CARM website, because we do governmental stuff as well. I would suggest you go to carm.org/45, just four, the number 4 and 5, 45, and just hit enter. It'll forward you to the article. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because of Rudolph's question. Should we be voting? Yes, we should. The 45 goals of communism were published in March of 1961 in what's called The Naked Communist. And they were read into the Congressional Record by Albert S. Herlong on January 10th, 1963. They are the stated means which communist Russia said would use to overthrow the United States. So, should we vote or should we let the unbelievers and all this stuff happen? There's 45 things. I'm just going to go through a few of them. What it says, number 15 is to capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. Well, the Democrat Party absolutely is captured by the leftist socialist agenda, that's for sure. Get control of the schools. Hey, that leftism and socialism is being taught in the schools. Infiltrate the press. Well, that's a fact. Gain key controls of positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Obviously, that's happening too. The leftism that's being promoted there, all over the place. It's eliminate laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography, obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. This is done in. This was. What was listed in 1961. This is what they said, and then put into Congressional Record in 1963. How about this one? Number 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. These are the things the communist group and people out of Russia and the communist group said they wanted to implement in the United States in order to overthrow the United States. Here's another one. Infiltrate the churches, replace revealed religion with social religion. This is happening. The social gospel is infiltrated. Discredit the Bible and emphasize a need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. In other words, attack religious truth. Why is that important? Because if you don't have the truth of God in your heart, where you will then, in power, won't take bribes, or won't put stuff on a laptop, or won't lie about things, or discredit the FBI, which is one of the ones, number 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step. The Constitution is actually under attack. Now, I can go on and on and on. And I'll just read one more. I can do this. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Now, there's more. If we Christians don't vote, then the unbelievers will rule over us. So here's a question. Do you want unbelievers to tell you what is right and wrong? Do you want unbelievers to pass laws promoting the killing of the unborn, promoting homosexuality as normal, promoting transgenderism, the blurring of the lines between male and female, and also more and more, as the stupid left are saying, when DeSantis put in the bill to not have sexuality taught to kindergarten age, first to second and third students,
yep.
To not have that taught, and then the left calls it "don't say gay." In other words, they misrepresent. I'm telling you, folks, there's a cultural war going on. We Christians are going to find ourselves under the social guillotine if we don't step up now and put a stop to all this ungodliness and destruction of our economy. And our social structure, and our churches. And I'm going to tell you, the first thing that's got to happen is the Christians got to get their churches together. If we get rid of the social gospel, get rid of women pastors and elders, homosexuality is not an alternative lifestyle, start standing on the truth of God's word, start uniting, start moving, start promoting. That's what's got to happen. The pastors are going to start preaching biblical theology and stop preaching man-centered humanistic theological principles. It's all up to us and the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian serve for Jesus. Okay, all because of what you said, Rudolph. I could go on and on and on.
But
we should be voting. Absolutely, yes. If a Christian does not vote, then, don't blame anybody for the problems. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, they can change things, the outcome of things that happen.
But yes, they can. Yes, they can. No, you don't understand. The enemy wants the Christians to feel helpless. You know, not that this is a great example, but it popped into my mind, the movie Gladiator. And they had this scene where the people were in the arena, and the horses and the charioteers around them were supposed to kill the people inside the arena. You know, it's in the movie Gladiator. And Russell Crowe, you know, he got them together, and they fought, and they won. Here's the thing. It's just an illustration. If you believe you're powerless, you'll sit and do nothing. If the Christians believe they're powerless and just wait and get raptured out and don't worry about it, then that's exactly what the enemy of the gospel wants. The Christians should be marching in the streets and protesting all over the place and filing lawsuits when they're discriminated against. The Christians need to do this and stop sitting on their hands and using Jesus himself as an excuse to do nothing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And we can change this country. The Christians can change the country if the Christians start praying. The first thing that has to happen is that the Christians have to ask God to expose their own sin personally. What sin am I committing? Teach me how to repent of it. You go into the churches, you pray for the pastors and the elders so that they would start preaching biblical theology. Recently, I was in a church where the pastor read scripture and exegeted very little of it and then preached a long sermon without historical redemptive, verse by verse, what does it actually say? I've seen this happen so many times where gimmicks are used, not that this church did that, but I've been to so many churches and heard so many sermons where it's a gimmick and it's an agenda that's forced upon the scriptures. I think the pastors ought to sit back and say, what does the Word of God say? What does it say? What does this verse say? How do we implement what it says in the Christian life? And point to the exit doors and say, folks, feel free to leave in the middle of the sermon. We're preaching to equip the Christians, not comfort the lost. Because that's what we're called to do as pastors, is to equip the Christians for the work of ministry. That's the job of the pastor and the teacher and the elder. But no, too many people are preaching a mamby-pamby, humanistic, comfort everybody theology because things are getting bad. Hey, pick up the cross and go follow Jesus. Get out there off your rears and go do something. You start with yourself, then you go into the church, you make sure that church is doing right, and you get out in society and you all start holding up signs. And you go protest and you go say, no, no, no. Christians ought to be organized, and when they're not organized, they won't do anything. No, no, no. You know, I was in a chat room today. This kind of stuff really upsets me. I was in a chat room listening. I'm at the gym working out. And someone said, a Muslim comes in. Does Jesus love everybody? And this person got on and says, oh, yeah, Jesus loves everyone. Well, then why would he send me to hell for being a Muslim if he loves me? And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm thinking, no, Jesus doesn't love everybody. And I got the scriptures. And I got in. I said, the first premise was inaccurate. That does not say that God loves everybody. Because the Bible says in Psalm 5:5 that God hates all who do iniquity. And the person, this female, get on, this woman, got on and said that that was my Calvinist interpretation. And I said, no, it's not. I just quoted Scripture. So what was happening is she was actually imposing an Arminian idea, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus, on Scripture, and then saying, no, it's not true, even though I just quoted the Word of God. This kind of thing needs to stop in the Christian church, where when the Scriptures are read, they have to be reinterpreted or contradicted with other Scriptures in order to make it say something that makes it more comfortable, because Jesus loves everybody, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown, standing at the door of your heart, asking permission for you to let him in. No! It's not how it is. We have a king. We have the sovereign Lord. And he told us to go out into all the world, make disciples of all nations. We should be getting off our rears and going doing it. I believe that if Christians start behaving like that, start picking up their cross daily, start working together, meeting in church and say, what can we do to change our society and actually come up with stuff? And they go and do what needs to be done on a regular basis, continually, and don't think it's going to take a week or two. It's going to take years. Christians need to stop being so short-sighted, start being long-sighted, work together, pick up their cross, follow after Jesus on a daily basis. We can change this world. And if we don't, and we let the unbelievers rule, then they're going to destroy us. They're going to tell us what we have to say in the churches and in our homes. And then it'll be too late for the Christians. And they're already silencing conservatives on the media, which is abhorrent. And they're working against the Constitution, as people are, in Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. They're doing this. And what are the Christians doing? Sitting on their hands, looking up in the sky and say, I don't have to do anything. The rapture's coming. What a shame. Go ahead. Oh, there's a break.
No, it's okay. Thank you.
Okay, Rudolph. God bless, buddy. Yeah, folks, this kind of stuff upsets me out. The reason is because I know what we can do as Christians. And the Christians are disunited. And they're at each other's throats instead of doing what needs to be done in the Christian context. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Orlando from High Point, North Carolina. Welcome, Orlando. You're on the air. What do you got? Hello, Orlando. I don't hear anything. Maybe there's a tech problem, but I'm going to put them on hold. Let's go to Dave from Kansas City. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Dave. What do you got,
hey,
ma'am?
Matt, what you just said in that last
segment
part was almost word for word what Douglas Wilson said in his book, Rules for Reformers.
Really?
And he wrote that in 19. Yeah, oh, I mean, word for word. And he's another Idaho pastor.
Well, yeah.
Douglas
exactly.
Wilson.
Yeah, he's north of me about 4 hours. Yep. Yep.
Really? He is solid. I don't agree totally with him, but that's okay. Maybe I have not been enlightened, but he is solid. His book, I don't agree with you totally, but, you know.
Oh, you heretic. Wow. Man, I'll let it slide.
99.9%.
No, oh, that's pretty good, though. That's better than what my wife says.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I told my wife to make me a sandwich, but she doesn't agree. That's a whole other story. But that's
okay.
A whole other issue. What I wanted to know, since we're on this, you know, I posted a thing about Jesus is a solid rock on my Facebook page, and I got, you know, I have friends on Facebook that one of the girl that got confirmed with me in the ECLA church liked. Another friend of mine that is a Roman Catholic, he liked. Another friend of mine who is an Eastern Orthodox, liked. I'm trying to reach out to all these people and find a, you know, witness to them. But I hope, I don't know where the essentials lie in the broad tent.
I can tell you.
Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean. Yes, I do.
If you go to CARM and look up Essential Doctrines of the Christian Faith, you'll see an article that's listed there. And you can also look up the Doctrine Grid. You can go to CARM. I'm doing it right now. Just CARM. And type in Doctrine Table. Doctrine Table is that. And it'll give you another form of it. Well, I can just list what the essentials are out of Scripture. Not that I think it is, but, you know, Jesus says, for example, unless you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins.
Yep.
Well, that's an essential because he said this is what you got to believe or you're dead. It's an essential, John 8:24.
Right.
So he's God in flesh. Jesus rose from the dead. You know, if Jesus is not risen, our faith is in vain, 1 Corinthians 15:14. So that's an essential. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. And there's different verses for that, but you can go to Galatians 3 and Galatians 5, 1 through 4. If you know, it actually has a warning. If you don't affirm this, you're lost. And,
so
and the gospel...
So would that negate... Would that what? Negate the Lutherans and the Catholics?
Depends. Because what you said was it's actually ELCA, not ECLA. But,
right.
And so...
Yeah, and I'm dyslexic. I'm dyslexic and anorexic. So.
That's all right. The ELCA is pretty liberal and pretty bad. Like the PCUSA is pretty bad, the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America. There's a lot of bad denominations out there who don't hold the Word of God to its proper place in Christ and His proper lordship, and so they compromise. But
the Lutheran Church in America, I grew up in a Lutheran Church, ECLA
ELCA,
ELCA. But I was told that I was saved because I was baptized in His name, and I was confirmed as a 12-year-old, and I went through the confession of faith, and I was able to take communion.
No.
I know, but I'm saying, does that make it a cult?
Basically, yeah. They're teaching a false gospel. It's a false gospel. And they're teaching, it's a cult in one sense. But I used to, I've taught in an ELCA church. It was a very good one in Southern California. But there are bad ones, too, and the whole denomination's going south, just like the Baptist denomination's going south now. It's adopting the social gospel.
Yeah,
so
I know.
We have,
that is true. That is true.
Yeah. So here, let me just jump to the thing here and just tell you what to say to them. Here's something I ask Catholics, I ask Eastern Orthodox, I ask all these people who want to add works to salvation. And it's pretty effective. I'll say, look, do you believe Jesus is God in flesh? And they'll say, yes. Does he have all authority in heaven and earth? Yes. Does he forgive sins?
Yeah.
They'll say, yes. If you pray to Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive you of all of your sins, will he forgive you of all of his sins? All of your sins. And the answer is, they have to say yes. Well, okay. if you say yes, then do you need your baptism? Do you need your communion? Do you need your Eucharist? Do you need your traditions? Do you need your church? Because if Jesus says, come to me, Matthew 11:27, he didn't say go to a church. He didn't say get saved in a church. He didn't say baptism's necessary for salvation. He didn't say all these things. So you can do that, and that's one of the things that I've done, is to point people straight to Jesus. They need Jesus. They don't need a stinking church with all its stupid traditions and things that get in the way between Jesus and them. They need Jesus.
I know. I said that on an hour and a half conversation with my friend in the old Lutheran church that I grew up in, because I called them heretics, and because they believed in all the gay stuff. And I said, there's no Jesus in that church anymore. And they called me up and said, I believe in, John 3:16, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. And yet he's a 32nd degree Mason.
Right. Well, it's people who
don't. But he still believes in all that stuff.
Yeah, because they don't know the Word of God, and because the pastors are not doing their jobs out there.
Were told that the Word of God was just myths made up, like Andy Stanley theology. It was myths made up by old people in the...
You know what the cure is for that? There's a cure for that. It's really simple. You just get a buddy, and you go talk to the person who teaches that, and he gets down on his hands and knees behind the heretic, and you push him over the guy's back. See, and say, stop it, stop it.
I know. Being born again, and the Holy Spirit does not... I know.
It's frustrating to me. I know what the truth is, and I know what we got to do as Christians. And the Christians don't want to do it. They're too stinking lazy.
No.
They're lazy.
I know. That's the whole point, And some of these Catholics and Eastern Orthodox are closer to the truth than they are, but yet they're still holding up. Why are you still in there? I ask them.
Yeah, because it's comfortable. People are going to have. People have a rude awakening on the day of judgment. Christ has called them. As it says, Jesus says in Matthew 10:38, he says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. I rattle cages. That's why I don't get asked to speak hardly ever at places, because I'll talk like this. I'll say, look, you got to get off your rears. You got to go do. You can't just sit there and be comfortable and go on a Sunday morning church thing and say, this, now I've done my Christianity. Let's go out in the world and now let's go to a restaurant and get served. Come on. Okay. Not everybody can do all this stuff you go out and hold up signs and talk to people, but we've got to do something.
All right, make your wife a sandwich, and we'll be
fine. I'll have to make her a sandwich, that's right. All right, buddy, God bless. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's get to Orlando. Let's try it again. Orlando, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, there you go, buddy. All right, missed you before. What do you got, man? What's up?
Yeah, remember, I talked to you about a week ago or so, and you told me to call back when you found the answer about the, we were talking about Esther.
Okay.
Remember?
No.
And about which king was it? Was it Ahasuerus? Something like that. That's how you pronounce it.
Oh, I did. I looked up that stuff.
And King Artaxerxes. Huh?
Yeah, I looked it up. What was the answer? I've been so busy in between. There are different names for the same king. I believe that's what it is. One's a certain kind of name for something. I can't remember. Dang it. Boy, I hate that. Let me put this in my notes. Because I did look it up.
Okay, don't worry about it. But
no,
can I ask you something real quick?
Sure, what do you got?
Yeah, the first gentleman they called earlier today when he talked about all the things that if we don't vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. The U.S. passport has started a new gender thing starting today.
X, yep.
They do it very subtle. They do it very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And they now they have female, male, and X, so you can be whatever you want.
Yep. Uh-huh. And what happens when a Christian says, I don't recognize transgender this or that, I don't recognize it, then they're going to be penalized. They're going to come after you.
Yeah.
What a Christian's going to do now? Oh, I'll just have to lay low, even lower than I have been my whole Christian life. I'll have to stay away, be more comfortable my whole Christian life. Things are getting worse, not because
that's
of my fault.
That's why we got to get everybody to vote.
Yeah, that's right. And do more. And do more.
Yeah.
We can't sit
right
here.
Thanks a lot, Matt. You have a good day.
Okay. God bless, buddy. All right. Let's Bye. Get to... Let's see. That'll be Trina from Ohio. Trina, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to know, maybe if you have an answer between the discrepancies of faith without works is dead, or you won't be saved by because then no one can boast, and maybe a definition of what works would be in this day and age, since we don't do, you know, sacrifices and things like that. And I'll just take the answer off air.
Wait. I'm not sure I understand your question.
Yes.
What's your question?
I'm confused about the scripture faith without works is dead, and then forgive me, I'm driving. I don't have them with me. And
then
the other
you.
Scripture that says, yes.
Let's just go one at a time because I know what you're talking about. Okay, you ready? Can you listen while you're driving? Are you there? Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, this is what the context is, starting in James 2:14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? What faith is he talking about? Now, he goes on, he explains, if a brother or sister is without clothing or need daily food, and one of them says, go in peace, but doesn't help him, what use is that? Faith without works is dead. But someone may well say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I'll show you my faith by my works. So that's called the horizontal. See, if you say you believe in God, but there's no change in your life, there's nothing there, that is a false faith. That's why it says faith without works is dead. A true faith has works. But it doesn't mean the works save you. It means that the true faith is with regeneration, and you're going to do stuff because you behave based on what you believe. You don't behave based on what you don't believe. So people behave based on what's in their belief, what they hold to. And so true faith will have works. This is why Christians, if they have true faith in Christ, should be uniting and working against the fall of our country and the world, if they have true faith. But faith without works is dead. Okay? It's the same kind of a thing. So this is what's going on here. That's all it is. Okay?
Okay. So as long as I'm continuing to try to be better and just to, you know, be like my father as best I can, my works is considered not necessary. I don't want to be considered just good enough, but I just want to make sure that I'm saved. I mean, I'm trying every day to
okay,
be
well,
better.
Let me tell you. Okay, this is what Romans 4:5 says. I need to tell you. This is what you can understand. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. No works. Because your works are filthy. My works are filthy. They're touched by sin.
So no one can boast. Is that the following, or is that a different
That's Ephesians 2:9. This says that you're justified before God by faith without any works, because we can't do anything to make ourselves right with God. So we believe in him truly, and that's what Romans 4 is talking about, true faith before God, justification before God. But James 2 is talking about justification before people. You show me your faith, I'll show you mine, is what he's saying in James 2:18. So you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone, not by faith and baptism, not by faith and sacraments, not by faith and anything, but by faith alone. That's why Jesus...
Amen. Thank you.
That's what it is. To the one who does not work but believes. There's works and belief. And so you remove works, then it's faith alone. That's what the verse is saying right there, Romans 4:5, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Trina. God bless. Okay.
Yes.
Oops, sorry. I cut her off there. You're welcome. Sorry, Trina. All right, let's get to Cole from North Carolina. Cole, welcome. You're on the air.
It's the first time I've ever called. I've been listening for a while.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. So what do you got?
Yep. Do pastors have to accept pay? I've been in debate with a few other fellow men, and they say they need to be, and I say they don't have to be if they don't want.
No, they don't have to take it if they don't want to. But yeah, it's okay to take it to live. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, I'm young. I'm a lay pastor. I work 50 hours. I have a family, and, I'm pastored, and I'm young. I'm pastor of a small congregation, and, they're intent on paying me, and I'm sitting here saying, no, you do not have to pay me. First Corinthians, I guess it's First Corinthians 9 is the text that I'm going to, where he says he has not exercised this power.
Right.
First Corinthians 9:12.
Ooh, good for you.
Power upon
them. Well, what you could do, if they really want you to take it, if they really do, let's say they force it on you, right? Now, that could be a tax problem, but then you could say, okay, whatever you give me.
And that's what I tell them.
You could say, whatever you give me.
It's going to hurt to give it to them.
I was going to say, you could tell them, whatever you give me, I'm going to write a check and tithe that right back to the church. So you could do that,
and that's what I've been telling them, is that if you pay me this, it's going to harm me, because then I've got to pay taxes on that
too.
You've given. So I'm a firm believer that a pastor, if he needs to be paid, he needs to be paid. I understand that, but if he's in a position like me and doesn't have to be paid, I would much rather see that money go to further the gospel.
There you go. Yeah, you're free not to take it, or free to take it. The pastor is worthy of the pastor to be able to be sustained out of his living. But if he doesn't need it, don't take it. Why take it? Why bother?
Exactly.
You know, there's no biblical admonition that says the pastor must take a salary. Okay.
Thank you. Now, I do have a question. I didn't tell the other fellow. Can I ask you that, too?
Sure.
It's just a Calvinist question. Explain to me exactly limited atonement. I don't quite understand it.
It's the teaching that Jesus only legally bore the sins of the elect. He did not bear the sins of everybody. He did not pay for their sins, because sin is a legal debt. Because Jesus says, our Father who art in heaven, forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts. He equated those, Matthew 6:12, Luke 11:4. So Jesus equated sin with legal debt. In Colossians 2:14, Jesus canceled the certificate of debt, having nailed to the cross. So our sin debt's canceled. If he paid the sin debt for everybody, then nobody can go to hell. Because a sin that doesn't exist, people will then say, oh, but you got to accept it. No, you don't. Because the validity of Christ's work is not made efficacious by you. It's efficacious by the fact of what he did, not by what you do. And so if he actually removed the sin debt for everybody ever lived, then God can't send anybody to hell. It'd be like the person on the Day of Judgment saying, why are you sending me to hell for? Because there's no sin in my account, right? Yes. Well, why are you sending me to hell?
Yep, and that's kind of what my thought process behind it. It must mean that, and that's exactly what I thought. So, not a full fledged Calvinist, but studying and trying to learn the scriptures. And I'll tell everybody I don't know everything, but I am studious, extremely studious.
Yeah, it's all right. That's just what the position is. That's what the position is. You know, if you don't believe it, okay, that's fine. But that's the position.
Yep.
All right. Okay, there's a break, buddy.
Well, God bless you, brother, and have a wonderful evening.
You too, man. God bless. Keep pastoring. All right, folks, four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. If you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Let's get to Mike from Iowa. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Okay, Matt, I got this friend who Actually, I used the article that I took off of your site this morning. 1 John chapter 5, 16 and 17, the sin leading to death. And this guy said, well, what if man killed Ananias and Sapphira?
What if it wasn't
God that killed them on the spot? How do you respond to somebody who kind of wants to rewrite what God's word says?
I would have said, yeah, I'd say, you know, you got a point there, because, you know, I think it might have been the people from Venus who did it.
Oh,
because
snarky.
You know, if you're not going to go with what it says, but what it doesn't say, then hey, maybe it was the Plutonians that did it. You know, because you never know, those Plutonians,
COVID.
You know. That's right. It could be COVID that went back in time with the Plutonians. And the Plutonians used it as a COVID weapon with the COVID gun and killed them. So the illustration is, but when people abandon the text for what it says, and then they say, well, let's go the opposite of what it says, and then let's entertain that. I don't entertain it, because I say, this is what the text says. Why are you contradicting what the Word of God says?
And that was my response to this gentleman. I'm realizing that the one who I need to really listen to is God in His Word.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing that I finally, after 68 years of being on this earth, I'm realizing that I really need to trust in what God says and not what man says?
You mean, let me get this straight, you mean you're kind of dumb and stupid, it took you all this time to figure it out?
Wow.
That's what it is.
I'm pulling my support from your station. I'm from your program. I'm done. So, hey, I love what you're doing.
Yeah, it's
you're,
the same
again,
thing.
I've said this before. I listened to your show. And actually, I heard a replay yesterday of when I had called in about a friend of mine who got kind of sort of ripped off, paid $400 to have somebody help remove a demon that's been bothering him, and I think he's going to be paying him more money. And I told him, I said, you need to get a hold of Matt Slick. That is his last name, and it really is Slick. He's not just Slick.
Yes.
Why don't you change your last name?
Because it's too cool. I learned to pay for this running as a kid, you know. But
okay. All right. Yeah, well, so now it's about being cool. Wow.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Reverend Slick just sounds so good. But I use it actually for evangelism.
Anyway.
So you're 68, huh?
I am 68. I'm just so excited about things that have been happening lately. Yeah. There's a friend of mine who was slowly killing himself with alcohol, and he happened to walk by the other day, and he said, "I can't look you in the eyes, but I'm telling you right now, I'm taking the hold off of you talking to me about God stuff. You can talk to me about God now, okay?" Wow. And that was just, it blew me away.
Good.
He didn't want to hear about God stuff. The AA thing is fine, but his higher power are those that have already, dealt with the addiction. And I think it's sad that, I think AA is a good, I'm trying to stay focused.
AA is bad.
AA
is bad.
Well, because how do you mess with the higher power? I mean, what is the higher power?
Yeah, it's we have articles on it on CARM, on Alcoholics Anonymous. No Christian pastor should allow it in his church as being used.
Wow.
It teaches occultism and bad stuff. It's not biblically sound. I was surprised. My buddy, he told me this. I'm like, nah, you got to be kidding me. He showed me stuff. I'm like, are you kidding? I didn't know this. And, it keeps you in bondage, for one thing. You're always an alcoholic. You're always in this. You always need to be going to what they tell you. It's all like that. Yeah.
So is there hope for me in the fact that I was sitting on my front porch drinking beer reading the AA big book?
Yeah. I think that's classic, drinking a beer while you're reading the big book. But, you can go to CARM and you can read some articles on it. The big book's got some occult stuff.
I you, appreciate what you're doing.
You and I would get along, I can tell already. So,
Our wives are very, yeah. Okay.
Are they? Is your wife is as unfor- is your... You're making me laugh. So is your wife as stressed out, as unfortunate as my wife is?
Well, it's a little scary because she told me she married me for the entertainment, and when she tells me that, it just totally ruins the moment. It's like, wow, dear, that is... Dad, you don't know what that doesn't do for me.
My wife married me, I tell her, she married me for my abs, and they're gone. So, now what?
Yeah, let's not go there.
That's right. So what right. Do I do? So I don't know, but my wife, I'd say to her, hey, hon, am I still entertaining? She looks at me and goes, that's one way to put it. So
is that possibly the person that I talked to when I dialed the wrong number?
I don't know.
I think I got the office number.
Yeah, and her name's Anique, and she's a sweet woman. Except for taste in men, she's really good. But other than that, yeah.
Depends.
That's right.
Yeah, that's an old person joke. Thanks.
It's,
you know, Matt,
true.
You have a great day.
You too, man. God bless, buddy.
All right.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Yeah, he's cracking me up. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Okay, you know, at the beginning of the show, I was talking about the 45, let me do this, I'm going to get back to it, the 45 things the communists are, it's so sad. I want to read some more of them, because we've got nobody waiting right now. We've got nobody waiting. I'm going to read some stuff that in the 40s, this is what they said in the 60s to do. I'm going to ask you, do you think these things are in place? I was reading some of the articles about these lists, because this list is a real common list. It's all over the internet. So you could, you know, 45 goals of communism, and you'll find it. I just copied one of the lists from someplace, because they're like all copied from the same place, aren't original from someplace. But some people, what they do is they go in and they comment. This has happened on this date, and they did a lot of research. I didn't do that. But check this out. Here's another one. Discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. That's certainly the case that's happening now. How about belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of a big picture? Give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over. How about that? Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over to any part of the culture, education, society, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics. In other words, give all of that over to the socialized system of the government to control it. It is so happening, okay? Infiltrate and gain control of big business. Google. All these leftist proponents inside of corporations pushing the woke idiocy. It's ridiculous. Let's see. How about emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents? Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. See, they're going to start saying that it's child abuse. I've heard this. It's child abuse to teach a child Christianity. I've heard this more and more. It's coming, folks. Internationalize the Panama Canal. That's happened. Repeal the, I don't know what that one means, the Connolly Reservation so the U.S. cannot prevent the world court from seizing jurisdiction over domestic problems. In other words, the thing is, to get rid of your own sovereignty, have the sovereignty of the world court tell what the Americans can and can't do. These are all the things. It's so bad. It is so bad. This is what's happening in our country. Christians, I'm telling you, I keep telling you, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. Let's get to Mark from Charlotte, North Carolina. Mark, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
I got a question.
Okay.
Do you remember a guy had called and asked you... does the Bible say that that we can pray to Jesus?
Yes, it does.
And I was thinking when you was talking, I was thinking, doesn't John does, question is, does John 14, does that mean, is he saying that when he says, you know, whatever you, John 14:12, when he starts in John 14:12, I say to you, whoever believes in me, the work that I do will do also the greater works that in these he would do. And then because my father, I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may get, be glorified in the Son. If okay. you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Right, John 14:14.
That's verse 14. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 14:14. Oh, I can't remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Is he saying you can pray to me there?
Yes. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Yes. Also, just so you know, in, for example, in Psalm 116:4, it says to call upon the name of Yahweh. You know, it says, I called upon the name of Yahweh. O Yahweh, I beseech you, save my life. So this is a prayer. To call upon the name of Yahweh is prayer. Well, that phrase occurs all over the Old Testament, call upon the name of Yahweh. But it's translated into the Greek to call upon the name of the Lord. That's what that phrase means. And so that phrase in Greek is applied to Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1:2. All who everywhere call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So that phrase, which means worship, adoration, prayer, is applied to Jesus. So yes, you can pray to him. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because I was. Yeah, because it was that. Yeah, that kind of confused me, because they were saying, well, it says, you know, the other. I forget the other scripture where it says, you know, pray to God, or he said, was I guess the Lord's Prayer. I guess it is.
Mm-hmm. Our Father who art in heaven. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But you can, yeah, you can pray to him too. Okay.
All you can pray to Jesus. Yeah, ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. John 14:14. They call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:2. Absolutely, you can pray to Christ. He's God in flesh. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, because that's, you know, I was like, because I thought, okay, well, if he's God and he's equal with God and he can do everything that God can do and he can give sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you say. Yeah, that's one of the things he used. You can forgive sin. You can't forgive sins. Did they pick up stones to stone him when he said that?
Before Abraham was, I am, and they pick up stones to throw at him, John 8:58-30 or 60. But yeah. Okay.
Okay, I thought it was one. Yeah, it was one. He says your sins are forgiven. Was that
John 8?
The guy picked up his bed.
Oh, that's okay. It. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, uh-huh. That's right. Oh, we're out of time, man. Okay. We're out of time. All right, buddy. Call back tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Okay, God bless. And Martin from Virginia, please call back tomorrow. I want to hear what you got to say, because I could certainly use a word of encouragement. Okay, Martin, call back tomorrow if you will. Hey, folks, we're out of time. May the Lord bless you. Bible study tonight. We'll talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.